Unfiltered, the official Sunderland AFC podcast.
Welcome to another edition of SAFC Unfiltered with myself, Frankie Francis, and as ever, I'm joined by former Sunderland player and Welsh international Danny Collins. How are you doing, Danny?
Yeah, good afternoon, Frankie. I'm good. Thanks very much.
Yeah, we are working remotely once again. COVID strikes again. Last time we were in a broom cupboard. Today we are in our own spaces and we're going to connect to the Academy of Light, where we're going to speak to Ross Stewart. And he's just coming up to being at the club for a year. He scored the perfect hat-trick, Sunderland's last game. He's really gone from strength to strength, isn't he? And he's someone we've been trying to get on the pod for some time, isn't he?
Well, he has, yeah. And he had to bide his time, didn't he, when he joined the club last season, obviously with Charlie doing well in amongst the goals. And he was almost a bit part player, wasn't he, coming off the bench, picked up his injury. But yeah, from this season, since Charlie left, he's stood up, hasn't he? He looks like he enjoys leading the line and he's got his rewards from getting his goals as well. So let's hope it continues.
Yeah, and we are now in the January transfer window. It's a funny one because of the team struggling with COVID or low on numbers. So it might be a bit of a slow start maybe to the transfer window, do you think?
Well, I think so, yeah. I'm sure Christian and the recruitment team have been working hard trying to get some bodies in. You know, we've obviously got a list of injuries, still a lot of lads in the treatment room to come out of there. Obviously, COVID playing its part as well. But you've got to give the lads credit. You know, they've had to dig in. We're low on numbers, but they're producing some good results. So, yeah, to get one or two in. And say Trey Humes come in at this moment, 19-year-old young lad. It's a 4.5-year deal, I think he's been given. So he's got time. But, yeah, they've obviously had the scouts out there having a look. So let's hope he comes in. And we obviously get asked after the game, what positions would you be looking to strengthen? And as the squad stands, we suggested a right back and perhaps another centre forward. Now there's the right back that's come in. Obviously, you've got Carl Winchester who can play there as well. He perhaps isn't too far off coming back in. So we need to get some bodies in, but I know I'm sure there'll be one or two more to come in throughout the remainder of January as well.
Yeah, time will tell. We'll see where we're at the end of January on that one. And we'll probably catch up with Christian as well, I'd imagine, after the window to get the full assessment. But we are going to connect over to the Academy of Light now, where we're going to speak to Ross Stewart. Like I said, someone we've been trying to speak to for quite some time, and he probably played his best game, didn't he, in his last time out for Sunderland?
He did, yeah. We got back to it, and we thought some of the lads had dropped off it when we had that bit of a blip. But I think Ross was still putting the shift in, wasn't he? Even if he wasn't amongst the goals, still works hard. You know, presses centre half, runs channels, does all that ugly side of the game, and he's got his rewards now. He's got back on track with the penalty, and as you said there, he you know, get the hat trick in the last game, the perfect hat trick, as you said. So he'll be full of confidence now, I'm sure.
Okay, then let's connect to the Academy Light and speak to Ross. Welcome to SAFC Unfiltered, Ross Stewart. Ross, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thanks. Not too bad.
It's nice to get you on. We are experiencing more COVID measures. So last time me and Danny were in a cupboard, this time we are working remotely and you are up at the Academy of Light as well. There's quite a lot of protocols up there, Ross, at the moment with the whole COVID thing. Has everyone got masks on and you're allowed in certain areas, that kind of thing?
Yeah, we've kind of had up numerous meetings with COVID. Obviously, it's quite fluid at the minute to what we can and can't do. But, you know, we're following the protocols as best we can as a club. And like you say, we're around the training ground, we're wearing masks and we're kind of, you know, isolating as best we can, avoiding close contact. So, you know, it's just try to get it right day to day and minimise the risk as best we can because we want to play football games.
And how frustrating is it when, like, our last game was you know, postponed, and that's happened a lot and it's happening right now. There's games getting postponed in the Premier League and all the way through EFL as well. How frustrating is that as a footballer? You know, you're preparing yourself for the game, you've probably gone through your videos with the gaffer and the stat guys. What's it like for you?
Yeah, it can be frustrating. Obviously, games can get called off and on really short notice. So yeah, there can be a lot of prep done, but you know, luckily we've been not too bad with our fixtures. We've got most of them on. As a club, we've been quite fortunate to not have many COVID cases. Obviously disappointed to miss the Fleetwood game at the weekend, but you know, at the same time, it let the lads kind of refresh a bit because it's going to be a tough game on Saturday against Wickham.
Ross, I think the main question, what the fans will want answering is, where's the hat-trick match ball? Is it pride of place on the mantelpiece, or has the missus made you put it in the garden shed? Where is it?
Yeah, no, it's under lock and key in the flat. You know, it's one.
Is it?
Yeah, it's locked away well. Nobody getting their hands on that, so...
Is that the first? Is that the first one, mate? The first professional hat trick? Did you get any up in Scotland?
It was the second one. I've had a previous one a few years back. Yeah, playing for Awa. So it'd been a while. But obviously, really, really happy to get the hat trick and, you know, help the lads win the game. And hopefully, you know, I can go on, you know, get a couple more in my time here.
Get a few more, yeah. Not expecting so. It's going well up the top there, isn't it? In the Golden Boot race at this moment in time. Stockton going well at Morecambe. Big Michael Smith at Rotherham, and it's almost the 3 year really, isn't then? We're at that halfway stage, still a long way to go. Do you set yourself any targets, Ross, at the start of the season? Are you one of these players, strikers, or, you know, coming in after Charlie left last season? A little bit of pressure on you, would you say, taking up the number 9 shirt, even though you don't wear it, and then having to produce? Do you set yourself any targets?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a striker at the start of the season, the target I always kind of set myself to begin with, can I get to double figures? So I always try and get to 10, and when I get to 10, okay, can I add on 5? Can I get to 15? Can I maybe add on another 5? So that's kind of the route I go down. But to, you know, to get 15, like you say, at the halfway stage of the season, I'm really happy with. Probably looking back a wee bit annoyed I've not got a couple more in there, but as a striker you're probably going to be like that, but beyond that, it's really just once I get 10, can I just add on and keep adding on and see what I can get to over the season.
Yeah, I think the other night actually I said on comms, didn't I, Frankie, that, you know, give you 10-15 minutes after half time because you had the 2 in the first half, can he go and get his hat trick and then put you in cotton wool? Obviously with Nathan picking up his injury, we're quite short in striking department at this moment in time, but Gaffer left you out there and you had that chance. You had a couple of chances, didn't you? As you say, I think you had another header, but the keeper was on top of you, wasn't he, by the time you had that? And, you know, could have come away with 4 or 5. So it's that hunger, I suppose, isn't it? And what I liked, I think, out of the 3 was your second goal where Pritchard's managed to nick it off their throw in. He's running at their back 3 almost. And you've just that desire from yourself to get up there alongside him. He's rolled it into your path, took it nice and early. Keeper couldn't get himself set, could he? And you've tucked it away nicely. Was that your favourite of the 3 the other night, would you say?
Yeah, I think, you know, I liked all 3 of them, probably in different ways. Like you say, the second one,
the perfect hat-trick, as Frankie pointed out on comms, wasn't it? Yeah,
the perfect hat-trick, yeah. But, you know, speaking on the second one, Pritch does really well. It's something we probably work on a lot in trainings, that transition for winning the ball and trying to counter teams well. And I thought it worked well. Pritch obviously did a great drive and running. I've, you know, just tried to support him, and it's a perfect ball, really, where it's just in stride, and I've just been able to, you know, meet it first time. And one of them, I just tried to concentrate on going low and hard across the goalkeeper, and it was obviously, you know, great to find the net. And with the first one, it's a really good ball for Leon to see it. You know, I think a few boys looking back says I'd maybe half a yard offside or so, but, you know, you take them as a striker, you still got to go in and finish it. And then obviously the third one's a, you know, a great pick out for Bales. I've just kind of, you know, ghosted in at the back post a bit, and Bales has seen the run. It's a great ball just to go and, you know, get the hat trick. So, you know, I enjoyed all 3 probably in different ways.
Yeah.
And obviously it was great to, you know, add to the tally, because up to probably Doncaster, you know, I only scored 1, maybe 6 or 7 games or whatever it was. So, you know, it's obviously good for a striker to get back on the goal trail, and hopefully, you know, that's a sign of things to come. I can keep adding to them in the weeks coming up.
Yeah, I think it happens with a lot of strikers, doesn't it? Whatever level they play at, they go through, if you want to call it streaks or phases, where they are getting a lot of goals, and then they go through dry spells and that. And in that sort of spell where you weren't getting goals, I said you were still working hard for the team as well. You didn't come away from that, did you? Maybe, I think some of the boys did have a dip in form, and obviously the results went with that. But I thought your work rate was still up there as well. You know, if you're not scoring goals and you get the opportunities, I think in pre-season you miss 1 or 2. But it doesn't look like it phases you. You know, you're waiting for that next chance and you keep the head up and you keep on going, don't you?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a striker, you know, whether the goals are coming or not, I think it's always important to try and get yourself into the right areas and keep trying to do the right things. And I think if you do that, it'll turn, the goals will come. Obviously, I've, you know, recent weeks as well, I've been doing, you know, a bit of work with, you know, Phil Jevon, Jevo, on the training field, and, you know, that's paying off as well. So, yeah, it was never really a case of, losing confidence with it or that. It was more just, right, just keep doing the right things, keep, like you say, working hard for the team with other parts of my game, and the goals will come, and, you know, thankfully they have.
And what are those things, Ross, that you've been working on in training with Phil Jevons? As a striker, what do you work on the most, and have you been learning some new techniques, as you just mentioned?
Yeah, I think it was just more kind of repetition of just doing the right things, making sure you're, you know, making good contact with the ball when you're hitting shots and timing of the run, and, you know, maybe off the field, doing kind of video analysis on defenders and maybe their strengths and weaknesses, and try to, you know, pinpoint where I can maybe gain advantages on the field. So yeah, it was probably an accumulation of things, you know, and it's good that it's obviously, you know, paying off.
Off the field, you've proven to be quite favourable and very much revered by the Sunderland faithful as well. They've got a few nicknames for you. I'm sure you're aware of some of them. Loch Ness, Drogba, the Braemar, Neymar, Highland, Haaland, the Irvin Ibrahimovic. Have you got any favourites you've heard so far?
A couple of them are new to me. I've not heard the one, obviously, that seems to have stuck a lot. So obviously, Loch Ness, Drogba.
Are you okay with that? Are you okay if everyone goes with that?
Yeah, it's obviously whoever's come up with it. You know, it's a cracker. You know, I get made aware of it, you know, maybe a month or so ago, and it's obviously stuck really well. And when things like that stick, you know, you learn to like them, and that's probably how it's happened. So yeah, it's obviously good that the fans, you know, I've taken to him, and, you know, I really enjoy playing at the stadium in front of them as well. So, you know, as players, we feed off them, and for them to, you know, come up with their own kind of nickname for me is obviously good on their part. And like you say, it's stuck. So, you know, it's all very good.
Exactly, exactly. Ross, what do you do away from football to relax? Are you into your films, TV, music, food, other sports? What do you do away from the club?
Just a bit of everything. I like to chill, play a bit of PlayStation, like you say, on away trips. You know, a lot of lads watch Netflix and stuff. I keep tabs on my football as well. I probably, when there's games on at night, I, you know, make an effort to try and watch games and stuff. So it's just a bit of everything. Obviously, the important thing is obviously just to kind of relax. And, you know, I'm one of them that probably likes to get away from it a bit. You know, you come in every day and you work hard, and then, you know, at night time, maybe let my mind, you know, wander elsewhere, and then come back in focused the next day. So everybody's a bit different, but, you know, I find different bits and bobs to do and keep myself busy.
You mentioned PlayStation there, Ross. Is it FIFA or more of a Call of Duty kind of thing you're playing?
Yeah, at the minute, I'm probably more FIFA.
Yeah, and do you play as yourself?
No, I don't find myself. I'm not good enough to play with, you know, the teams. I stick to the better teams in the game, the likes of PSG and Liverpool and stuff. You know, me and my mates back up in Scotland play a lot. It gets quite competitive, which is good as well. So it's always enjoyable playing with them as well.
Yeah, would you consider yourself decent on FIFA?
I'm not too sure. I think within the group that I play in, I would say I'm above average. But I'm not one of these that you know every buttons. I'm kind of a 1-2 man passing move and try and work myself forward into, you know, good areas. But I wouldn't say I'm really good. But I wouldn't say I'm really bad.
Who's the main man at the club then, Ross? Who thinks they're the top dog? One of the younger lads
at FIFA.
Yeah.
I think the way the few lads talk, I think, you know, Fred Alves seems to enjoy his FIFA. He talks with a few of the lads, so I'd probably put him up there. He's likes his ultimate team and whatnot, I think. So I've not played many of them, so I wouldn't really know what the standard's like. So probably one of them down the line. Maybe to play a few games and see where I stand. Maybe
a bit of practice at home first, mate.
Yeah.
Ross, just going back to a few weeks ago when we had our dip, as we'll call it, when we came away from it, what was the atmosphere like around the training ground? You know, I've been there as a player myself. When you're losing games, it's quite quiet, isn't it, around the training ground? And then all of a sudden you get back to winning ways. You know, people have asked us after the game, what ties into that? Is it just working hard on the training ground? And for me, it is. You know, it's just a case of winning games of football brings the confidence back. And as we've seen in the last few games, you know, the two results we've had there, confidence must be flowing again through the boys, is it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, like you say, when you go through that sticky patch that we did, you know, a month or so ago, it was all about just trying to keep the confidence high and trust the philosophy that, you know, the gaffer plays with, and yeah, keep trying to carry that out as best we can. And we knew if we'd done that, you know, things would turn for us and you know, half it's about probably breaking that duck and getting that win when you're in that sticky patch. And once you've done that, it was just a case of, you know, kicking on for them. And you know, we're on a really good run at the minute in the league. We're, you know, I think it's 8 or 9 unbeaten, so we're in a really good place. And you know, like you say, right now in training, you see every day the confidence is flowing. There's a real good, you know, buzz and energy about the place. And you know, we're, you know, every day goes by, we're just looking for that next game. So hopefully, you know, when they start coming, you know, we can continue that form and, you know, keep making a push for, you know, the top two places.
Yeah. And in terms of yourself, Ross, you know, formations wise, do you prefer to play as the lone striker? Do you prefer having somebody up there alongside you? You know, Nathan came in. I go back to, I think it was Cheltenham, he almost played up there alongside you, didn't he? I've said it a few times, I think that it benefits you sometimes because you do that much work off the ball, you know, closing centre-halves down. You almost need to try and save some in the tank for when we have the ball, you know, for breaking lines. Do you prefer having somebody up there taking some of the workload, or do you prefer you're happy enough to do it on your own, really, and then maybe Embleton, Pritchard, these lads can run beyond you?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. I wouldn't say I've got a preference. I enjoyed at the start of the season being his own striker because I think the way we play, you've always got a lot of support. But at the same time, when, you know, the gaffer went with two and I had Nath up there, and I enjoyed it as well. You know, it's slightly different, like you say, with the off-the-ball working. You know, you know you've always got somebody that bit closer to you. And you, yep. But at the same time, you probably, as a two, maybe wander, you know, away from goal-scoring opposition, goal-scoring opportunities, because, you know, you've got that other one up there with you. So it kind of works. It kind of works both ways. But
both ways, isn't it?
Yeah, I enjoyed both. Like you say, back to the one at the minute. Obviously, unfortunately, Nath's injury, and I was able to get back amongst the goals. So I think it's just the way we play. I think either or really suits the team. We know we've got the players that can do both. So there's not a preference from my point of view.
And regarding the number 9 shirt at the start of the season, with obviously Charlie moving on, did you not want to take it? Is number 14 your number from up in Scotland, or was it just something that didn't happen and you were happy to take the 14 and see who came in to take the 9?
No, it was just, you know, when I was younger, my idol growing up was Thierry Henry, who was number 14. Right, yeah. So when 9 and 14 was available, I was always kind of swayed towards the 14, just as a kid. He was my kind of idol growing up. So when I got that chance, I thought, you know, I'd prefer the 14. So it was never, you know, shying away from the 9. It was just, you know, that wee story there. I just preferred to go 14. I felt more comfortable with that.
Good stuff.
Ross, how much would it mean to you to get a national call-up to Scotland?
Yeah, it would mean a lot. It would really mean a lot. Because this kind of journey I've took, even 4 or 5 years ago, it's probably something that I never really thought about. And obviously the last, you know, 6 months or so, there's been, you know, a bit of talk about it. And I think, you know, representing your country, probably, you know, a bit like the pinnacle. It's something I'd really love to do, but, you know, it's difficult not to try and lose focus, you know, and get lost within all that talk. I've just got to, you know, try to keep doing well with my football at Sunderland. And, you know, if I can do that, these things, probably you'll learn, most players say, you know, take care of themselves. So it would obviously be a really, really good honour. And hopefully, you know, in the future it does happen. But, you know, I've just got to try and keep doing well, keep playing well, and, you know, hopefully it does.
Danny, can you remember your first international game for Wales?
Yeah, I can. It was I'd not long been at Sunderland myself, actually. I think it was against Hungary down at the Millennium Stadium. Came on second half substitution, and I think we won 2-0, so it was a nice evening, really. But yeah, as you say, I think from Ross's point of view, I was having a look at it earlier. You've got the likes of Shea Adams, obviously Lyndon Dykes, these lads who are doing well themselves, and it's competition for places, and all Ross can do is just keep working hard, keep putting the ball in the back of the net, and I'm sure sooner rather than later he's going to get that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all the Sunderland fans wish you well on that front, Ross. Let's have some questions now from the Sunderland fans. We took to Twitter over the last couple of days, so strap in for some of these then, Ross. Are you ready? This first one is from @Jonathan_SAFC, who says, do the lads in the changing room call you the Loch Ness Drogba?
No, they don't. Most lads just call me Roscoe.
I think we saw on your signed match ball, there was some naughty words on there. So I think we got a good idea of what else they might call you, Ross, as well.
Yeah. No, it kind of varies in about, you know, big man, whatever gets thrown about. But most of just call me Roscoe. Obviously after the game the other night, when the nickname and stuff pops up, lads, you know, catch on, have a good bit of banter about it. So, you know, it's all fun and games at times, but around the training ground, around the place, it's just Roscoe.
All right, then, next one is from at MD1908 underscore, who says, what's your favourite crisps?
Crisps? I'm probably not a big crisps guy. If I was going to go, I'd probably go some like Thai sweet chilli sensations or something.
Nice.
Yeah. But again, I'm kind of clutching here. I'm not big on my crisps.
More chocolate, Ross, is it? The battered Mars bar or?
Yeah, gummies, jellies, they're my weakness. Oh, yeah.
Fair enough. Let's move it on. This one is from at 1879 fans, who asks, what's your favourite goal you've scored so far?
Oh, good question. You know, I'd probably go for the one in the first game of the season against Wigan, the winner. Obviously, it was kind of make my home debut in front of a really big crowd, and it was a winner that day, and it was a really tough game, you know, to come from behind. So I think to score on the opening day as a winner was, you know, one that I'll remember for a long time as well.
Was that the knee slide, Ross? What didn't quite go to plan, and you got stuck in the turf, didn't you?
Pitch was too dry that day.
Dislocated kneecap after the first game of the season, nearly. Yeah,
hadn't seen the physio.
Yeah, I've seen this one as well, to be fair. I just thinking a few of your goals. I liked your one at Plymouth last year. You picked it up, didn't you? I think Lyndon slipped you on the halfway line, ran that half length of the pitch and tucked it away and scored different types of goals as well, really. I think you're happy to pick it up deep. You know, Dan Neal slotted you in a couple of times this season. I think Wickham, good one. Was that with your left foot, wasn't it? You struck it quite well with your left foot. And then you've obviously got a few poacher types as well. MK Dons away, I think, didn't you? Your third one the other night, bit of movement to the far stick, so you are scoring different types of goals as well, which is good to see. Any more, Frank?
Yeah, we've got a couple more. This one is from Sunderland Sub 1 on Twitter. You've answered the first part, who asked who was your football idol growing up. I guess that was Thierry Henry. But have you got anyone who's playing at the moment who you really look at in world football and think, you know, he's the greatest?
Well, I think the greatest for me all times, Lionel Messi. He's a striker, but, you know, he just floats about games and makes it look so easy. So when he's, you know, on the telly, you're always watching these type of guys. But in terms of right now in the Prem, you know, there's some really good strikers. I don't watch MD in particular, but I do watch a lot of the top guys and you know, see what they do in scenarios and try and, you know, put it into my game as well.
All right. Last one from the Twitter fans. This one's from at Rob SAFC fan, who says, now this is in reference to that picture of you when you were at Ross County. He says, what were the Iron Brew sweet chilli sausages like?
I couldn't tell you. I never ate any. I should have.
Oh, you should do. I think there's a butcher's in Sunderland called Sturk's. Now, for Jack Ross, when he was here, I think they might have done an Iron Brew sausage. So we might have to try and sort that out again for you, Ross, and, you know, recreate the photo maybe.
I don't know about that. That photo's done me a lot of hassle throughout since it's been took.
Yeah, get some on the barbecue next summer, Ross, won't you? Get a few on the barbecue there. Yeah.
That sounds better, Danny.
Ross, there's another one I picked up on as well, and I was going to ask the question, and it's a question that pops up time and time again, and people are always asking, you know, the difference between Scottish Premier League and obviously Rangers Celtic, and where would these teams fare if they came down south of the border? From your experience, I think you played 50-odd games in the Scottish Premier League. What have you noticed the difference? What would you say the main difference is really in that level as opposed to coming down here and obviously playing at League One at this moment in time?
I think down here, you know, the physicality of the game, I think the game is played a lot quicker than up there. I think the SPL is kind of a wide range in terms of, like you say, the top of playing against Old Firms, a really high standard, and then when you kind of down the bottom teams, it probably down to your kind of League Ones and League Twos. So it's just probably, it's adapting. Where League One is a minute, I found it quite tough is, you know, teams keep the ball really well down here and move it probably at a faster pace, and it's not so much gung-ho, but a bit more tactical in a sense, a lot more tactical down in England. So you need to, you know, work the ball a lot better to make your chances. But, you know, there was always something I wanted to do was to come down to England and test myself at the divisions down here, and I'm really enjoying that challenge.
And when you came down to Sunderland, was there interest from other clubs south of the border as well, would you say, at the time? Was your agent mentioning a few others, and obviously what made your decision to come to Sunderland, if there were?
Yeah, there was, you know, a couple other clubs kind of sniffing about, but it was one of them when I heard that Sunderland were interested. You know, I knew that was the club that I wanted to go to. You know, growing up, Sunderland being a Premier League club, I knew the size of the club, and when I came down and saw the stadium and the training facilities and stuff, my mind was made up. It was just a case of trying to get the deal done, and, you know, thankfully it did. And, you know, it was at the time it was, you know, a bit, you know, stop start with injury, but when I got past that, I've really hit the ground running. I feel really comfortable at the club. You know, the dressing room was a great dressing room to come into at the time, and everybody just made it really easy to settle. So it was just a case of focusing on my football, and once injury's behind me, just kicking on. And, you know, I hope, you know, people's kind of seen, you know, what I'm all about this year. I feel, you know, as fit as I've been in a number of years, and I think, you know, that's shown in my performances. So Going back to your question, I think, you know, when back last January when I heard of the Sunderland interest, it was the only place I wanted to come to.
Nice one, Ross. I'm sure the fans will love to hear that as well. Now, I don't know if you've heard any of these podcasts before, Ross, but it's tradition that when you have a first appearance, or if you're a regular guest, Danny will put some quiz questions to you, general knowledge, and then at the end of the season, we'll see who finishes top. Now, I think in recent times, Lyndon Gooch might have been the top of the leaderboard. Is that right, Danny?
Yeah, he's up there, Lyndon, wasn't he? He wasn't too confident coming into the room for the podcast, but he said he'd be happy with one, but he got all five, to be fair to him. So I did help him out with a couple of American questions, to be fair, but no, he done well. So I've helped you out as well here, big man. Don't worry about it. We've got a few in your favour, I think. So we'll start off then. Five questions, as Frankie says, general knowledge-ish. And the first one is, which of these former players won the most caps for Scotland? Was it Kenny Miller, Darren Fletcher, or Alex McLeish?
I'm going to go Darren Fletcher.
It is Darren Fletcher, 80 caps. Yeah, Alex McLeish, 77. Kenny Miller, 69 caps. Good start, Ross. Question number two. Hull City took the League One title last season, but how many points did they get? Was it 89, 91, or 93?
Another bit of a guess. I'm going to go 93.
89. Yeah. Surprising, actually. I thought up in the 90s, but yeah, 89 it was. Okay, question number three. A lot of darts been on the telly lately. I know Frankie's been watching the darts. This one is, in darts, what is the lowest number that can't be scored with one dart? What is the lowest number that can't be scored with one dart? And you don't get multiple choice on this, obviously.
22.
23. Double
11's
22, isn't it?
I should have got that. Feeling the pressure. Yeah. Yeah. Feeling the pressure.
It's a sort of maths one in there, so we'll stay clear of them from that one. Question number four. What does the abbreviation GPS stand for?
Oh no, I'm in trouble.
Obviously, you have one of these on for training most days as well, keeping a.
I'm going to get some backlash for Nick here, but I don't know the answer.
GPS, no guess at all. Nothing coming to you.
Oh, I'm not going to put anything together. No, not a clue.
No. Well, you can ask this to Nick later, but it's Global Positioning System.
We never have got that, so I'm happy I never had to guess it.
Okay. And the last one, which one of your current teammates has the middle name Colin? Is it Tom Flanagan, Lee Burge, or Bailey Wright? Colin, who's that middle name?
I've not heard of that, so it's going to be an hard guess.
You need to take this into the dressing room anyway, regardless of who it is.
Colin. Yep.
Just walk past him after and say, all right, Colt.
I'm going to go Bailey Wright.
It is correct, Bailey Wright. Bailey Colin Wright is correct. There you go. So you got
two
out of five, Ross. A couple of tricky ones in there for you, but yeah, started well and ended well. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. That was a good effort, Ross. Well done. Thanks, Danny, for the quiz. I guess all that's left for us to do now is to look forward, Ross, and you must be looking forward to the weekend's game against Wickham and then the pretty much, you know, the meat of the second half of the season.
Yeah, obviously, like I said earlier, you know, we're just wanting the games to come around the corner now. We feel like we're in a really good place, so, you know, the Wickham one, in a sense, can't come fast enough. But at the same time, we know it's going to be a really tough game. Early in the season, they play a very direct style of football, so it's going to be tough. But, you know, we've got to deal with that, but at the same time, keep playing the way we've been playing. And I'm sure if we do that, we can go down there and get a really positive result. That would certainly be the plan. So, you know, really looking forward to it. I know the rest of the lads are looking forward to it as well.
And Danny touched upon it as well, but goals target, another 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe?
Yeah, obviously I wouldn't put a number on it, but we certainly try to get as many as I can between now and the end of the season. You know, it's really a really good return to get 15 up to now, and, you know, let's just see what we get to. Obviously, the aim now is probably just to try and add another 5 first of all, and, you know, if we can get to 20, then, you know, we add on for there. But I'll certainly, hopefully, starting Saturday, can start adding to that 15.
Nice one, Ross. Thanks for joining us here on SAFC Unfiltered.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
That was Ross Stewart speaking to us here on SAFC Unfiltered. He seems like such a lovely lad, doesn't he, Danny?
He does, doesn't he? Yeah, you know, a bit of a gentle giant, I think, really, isn't he? You know, he puts himself about on the pitch, you know, wins his fair share of headers. But he just looks like and sounds like he's enjoying his football, as he said there, you know, coming to Sunderland. I'm sure there were other offers for him on the table, but he said once he knew that Sunderland were interested in him, that was the club for him to come down to. And yeah, it took him his time to get into his stride to nail down a shirt. But now, you know, he's amongst the goals. He's up there at the top of the pile in League One. And let's hope he continues to keep finding the back of the net.
I thought your quiz was a little bit hard this week, if I'm honest, Danny. He struggled on a couple of those questions. I think I might have struggled on a couple of those. Nevertheless, he did deal with them as best he could, and he dealt with the questions from the fans as well, and it shows he's got a good sense of humour as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. To be fair, he's not going to forget what GPS stands for now, though, is he? So, you know, he's learning something coming on the quiz as well, on the podcast. But, no, it was good, as you say. He seems like he likes a bit of a laugh as well with the boys, really, doesn't he? And it was good to have a catch up with him, and as you said, it's been a long time coming. He's, you know, we've tried to get him on in the past, haven't we? And finally, we've caught up with him. So I'm sure we'll see some of the other boys coming on as well in the weeks ahead for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, and just a word, Danny, from yourself. Are you looking forward to the game at the weekend against Wickham? And of course, the game comes fast as well on the back of that at home to Lincoln City as well, doesn't it?
It is, yeah. We're on the back nine now, aren't we, as they say in golf. That home running, off to a good start with the result against Sheffield Wednesday last week. And it's a shame, really, that the Fleetwood game got called off. You know, we've said it before, for the lads, they love to get the boots back on when you're in confident form. But it's been a bit of a break for them now. We might see one or two back out of the treatment room. But yeah, another big game to look forward to. Wickham had a good result the other day. They'll be confident. But we've got to go there, you know, and try and play our style of football. You know, they do like to go a little bit more direct, as Ross just touched upon there. But if we can get the ball down once we do the ugly side of the game, and I'm sure we'll get opportunities throughout the 90 minutes.
OK, Danny, thanks for being with me again this afternoon. As ever, if you're listening and you haven't subscribed yet, please do so on all the major streaming platforms for podcasts. And if you'd like to suggest someone you'd like to hear from on SAFC Unfiltered, please get in touch with the club on the usual spaces and places. We'll see you very soon.